Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
We are supposed to be able to see things with our heart that you can't see with your eyes. You're supposed to be able to grasp and say, it's mine. I've got it.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of my third week teaching on the power of imagination. This is a brand new book that we've just put out. This is the first time I've taught this and offered it over our television broadcast. And I tell you, this is powerful. The things that I'm saying about imagination are things that I've never heard anybody else teach. As a matter of fact, I would say that the vast majority of people think that an imagination is talking about fantasy. And I dealt with this already. I'm not going to go into all of the detail. That's the reason that you need to get the book. But your imagination, it says in Psalms 103, verse 14, is the frame. It's like your skeleton. It's what you're built around. You can't function without an imagination. And so some people think, well, I don't have an imagination. Yes, you do. You either have a positive imagination, which is doing godly things for you, or your imagination is vain. That doesn't mean that it's not working, but it's working against you instead of for you. Every person has an image on the inside of who you are and what you can do. And the sad thing is, most of us have let that image be controlled and dominated by our experiences, by our education, by our finances, our lack of finances, and we let all of these things form that image of who we are and what we can do. But the Word of God has a different image. It says that when you get born again, you become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. And the problem is, we can't see this transformation with our physical eyes. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. It's not in the physical realm. It's in the spiritual realm. And this is where your imagination comes in. You have to take the Word of God, meditate on it, and I've already taught this last week, that meditation is using your imagination. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 says, in His law doth He meditate day and night. And the Hebrew word that was translated meditate in Psalms 1, 2 was translated imagine in Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. So to meditate means that you take the Word and you let it paint a picture on the inside of you. That's what your imagination is. It's your ability to see with your heart something that you can't see or touch with your physical eyes, something that isn't present with you, or something that hasn't even come to pass yet, or something that's intangible, like we're saying, that you become a brand new person in Christ Jesus, and you have to begin to see yourself in Christ. Now, you don't just use your imagination and sit down and close your eyes and just imagine that you're a 10-foot-tall person on the inside, that you're this, and you start imagining and let science fiction and Star Wars and other things influence you. No, that's fantasy. That's something that doesn't have any basis in reality. But the Word of God is real. And the Word of God shows us things that exist in the spiritual realm, not only like God and heaven and things like that, but angels, spiritual powers, demons, that there is a Satan that goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Those things are real, but they aren't in the physical world. They are in the spiritual world. The Word of God paints this. And the Word of God also paints a picture on the inside of who you are and what you have, the power and the authority and what you can do with it. And sad to say, most Christians have not engaged their imagination. They haven't meditated until they see these things. And they don't understand that there is an unseen realm. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Did you know faith is evidence? And I'm going to start teaching this, I believe, tomorrow in our program. I won't get into it right now, but faith is completely motivated by imagination. Your imagination is what activates your faith. I'm going to show you that from the Word of God on tomorrow's broadcast. But today, what I'm trying to say is that there is an unseen realm out here. I use this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, where Paul said, "While we look at the things that are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul said he was looking at things that you couldn't see. Now, a carnal person, a person who is dominated by just their five senses, what they can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, a carnal person will sit there and say, "You can't see something if you can't see it." No, you can't. You can see with your heart. And I use this passage over in 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha said, "There's more with us than with them," talking about the enemy soldiers, thousands of them that surrounded them. And then there was only him and his servant. And yet he said, "There's more with us than there are with them." That wasn't true in just the physical world. If all you were looking at was physical human beings, there was more human beings with the Syrians than there were with just him and his servant. But see, there is not only just this physical world. There's also a spiritual world. And so he said, "Lord, open up the young man's eyes." And when the Lord opened up his servant's eyes, he wasn't talking about his physical eyes. His physical eyes were already open. That's how he saw all of the Syrians that were surrounding them. But he opened up the eyes of his heart. He was able to see with his imagination. And he saw horses and chariots of fire that were completely surrounding them. And what Elisha said was true. There was actually more with Elisha than there was with the Syrians, because Elisha was looking in the spiritual realm. He was seeing with his heart. He was seeing something with his heart that he couldn't see with his physical eyes. Man, that is powerful. And did you know that every one of you, if you have been born again, you now have the Son of God living on the inside of you? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, you have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. John 14, 12, the works that Jesus did, you will do also. You have all of these things. In the Spirit, you are absolutely awesome. But very few Christians have seen themselves that way. Most Christians, if they are told that they are going to die, they will put more stock in what the doctor says than what the Word of God says, because they can see what the doctor is saying. They can see people that have had cancer and that have died of cancer. And so therefore, they see this negative image and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But most Christians haven't seen the supernatural power of God that indwells them. And because of that, they just don't have the faith. The faith isn't activated because they have a negative imagination on the inside of them. You know why people can get healed of a cold easier than they can be healed of cancer? It's not because it takes more power from God's standpoint to heal cancer than it does a cold. The same anointing that heals a cold heals cancer. The same anointing that heals an ingrown toenail can heal anything, AIDS or whatever. It's not varying degrees of God's power that's the issue. But the problem is, see, with a cold, you don't have the same fear. You don't have the same level of unbelief. You don't have an image of this. You don't see people dying from a cold. And so therefore, you don't have as much unbelief that is holding you back. That's the difference. But when it comes to cancer, man, people have heard words, they've heard stories, they've seen movies, they've probably seen somebody that they know who had cancer, and they see the way that it wastes your body away and how you go through all of these things. And they have an image. They see in their imagination a negative image, and it's been painted for them very vividly, either through movies, personal experience, words, or something else. And they have all of this unbelief. And that's the reason that some people find it harder to be healed of cancer than they do a cold. Did you know that in the natural, that the doctors can probably do more to deal with cancer than they can a cold? Now, you can take medication for a cold, and it can dry up your sinuses. It can alleviate some of the symptoms. But I've actually read before that if you take medication for a cold, it may deal with some of the symptoms and make them not so severe, but it actually prolongs the period of time that that cold bug or whatever causes it is in your body. If you just were to, you know, suffer through the effects of a cold, your body will recover and overcome that cold quicker without medication than it does with medication. But there's things that they can do for cancer. They can actually cut a tumor out. They can irradiate it. They can kill it. There's actually more that can be done for cancer than there is for a cold. But the reason that people get healed easier from a cold than a cancer isn't because it takes more power from God, but it's because of this thing about their imagination. They don't see themselves dying from a cold, but they see themselves dying from cancer. It's not God who's the problem, it's us. We allow this world and the negative experiences and things to paint pictures on the inside of us. That is your imagination. And people see themselves when it's pronounced over them that you've got lupus, that you've got arthritis, that you've got whatever it is. The average person will go and study out those diseases and get all of the information and see what the end result of this is going to be. And then after they have this negative imagination, after they have all of this fear and they see the terrible effects of it, then they go back and try and believe God. And it's just such a struggle because they've got an imagination working, but it's working against them. You know, we had a woman, Connie Weisskopf, and she's on one of our healing journeys. She was healed of cancer. And you can go to our website, awmi.net, and you can look this up and see her whole testimony. But she was diagnosed with cancer. And when she got it, she said that her friends told her, you know, you need to go to the internet. You need to start researching this type of cancer. You need to learn everything that you can learn about cancer. And she says, no way. She says, I'm not going to learn about cancer. I'm going to learn about healing. And she intentionally did not go research cancer. She decided she was going to get into the Word and learn about healing. And that's how she connected with me. I think it was through the internet, or it might have been a friend or something, but somehow she found my teaching on healing and began to meditate on it. She came and I prayed for her and she was healed. And by her own testimony, one of the keys to her healing was she didn't focus on cancer. She didn't research what cancer could do. She instead researched what God could do and focused on the positive instead of the negative. That's the reason that she was healed of cancer. I'm telling you, this is really, really, really important. Faith can perceive things in an unseen realm. You can't see it with your physical eyes, but you can picture it in your imagination. Your imagination is your spiritual womb. It's where you conceive things. And the sad fact is, most of us have been letting our imagination be dominated and controlled by the negative things that we see and hear around us. We are letting other things dominate us instead of the Word of God. This is one of the things that happens. See, when you get into the Word of God helps you to see beyond just the physical. You know, a number of years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and we went to Arlington National Cemetery, and I learned that Robert E. Lee, the man who became the head general of the Confederate States during the Civil War, that his house and his property was taken over by the Union. When he broke away, he had been associated with the United States. He was a well-known general in the United States. But when the Civil War started, he decided to go with the South. He became the leading general of the Confederates. And when that happened, he abandoned his home and the Union took it over. And then after the war, they turned his property and his house into Arlington National Cemetery, kind of as a punishment for him going with the South instead of staying with the North. And anyway, my point for saying all of that is that I was interested about this. So I got a book on Robert E. Lee, and I read this history book. And I haven't got time to go through everything, but the South nearly won the Civil War. In the beginning of the Civil War, they had the Union troops defeated a number of times. The Union generals were they weren't aggressive. They were passive. They would fight and win a little battle, and then instead of pursuing, they would fall back. And anyway, there was just a number of times that the South could have won the Civil War. And it was recorded in this book. And there were things that happened that it just made me wonder what was really going on behind the scenes. And I compared it to the Word of God. Because, like, for instance, when David was fighting the enemy, it would talk about how that the Lord set an ambushment. The Lord is the one who made this happen. And it was, see, the Word of God shows you what was going on in the unseen realm. You might have seen two armies come together and clash, but the Bible shows you what was going on in the unseen realm, and it explains why this happened and why David won instead of his enemies. Like, for instance, one time when Saul had completely surrounded David and it looked like David was going to be taken, then you see that the Lord caused the Philistines to come and to attack Saul, and Saul had to break off his pursuit of David and go defend himself and his kingdom. And it shows you what was going on in the unseen realm, that God was doing these things. As I read this book about Robert E. Lee, it showed you things where the South easily could have won, but for some reason they didn't. And I just long to know. You know, I wish that it was written in the way that the Scriptures are, so that you would have seen that God had a hand in this, that God supernaturally kept the Union from being defeated so that slavery could end and so that the United States could remain one nation under God. And so my point is, see, that the Bible shows you things in the unseen realm. It doesn't just show you history and what happened, but it shows you why it happened, what was going on behind the scenes. And this is what happens when you read the Bible allows you to see below the surface, beyond just the physical reality, and you see into the spiritual realm. Your imagination is how you do that. The Word says these things, it gives you information, and then you take that information, and as you meditate on it, using your imagination, Psalms 1:2 and Psalms 2:1, you put those together, you use your imagination when you meditate, all of a sudden you begin to see things. You begin to understand why things are happening. I know that when I first got really turned on to the Lord, I had been raised in church. I got born again when I was 8 years old, but I wasn't taught that there was a spiritual world. We didn't really talk about the spirit beings, angels. We didn't talk about demons. It was just all physical. It was only what you could see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And when I got turned on to the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968, and all of a sudden I began to feel and have knowledge of the influence of the Holy Spirit on me, something that I couldn't see, but man, it was real. I fell in love with God. I just got opened up that there was a spiritual world. And I began to start becoming aware of the spiritual things that were going on around me. I realized that many of the sicknesses that I was dealing with, and that when I prayed with people, it wasn't just physical. There was demonic things involved. If you study the healing ministry of Jesus, I've done this in the past, and I've got it written in a footnote in my Living Commentary. I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but I think it's about 50% or more of all of the healings that Jesus produced, He produced by casting demons out of people. It's not all just physical. It's not all just natural. It's not all organic. It's not all bacteria, viruses. There are demonic things that influence people. And once you understand this, it just opens up everything. It changes the way you deal with things. And yet the average person, and even sad to say, the majority of Christians are just approaching things from a totally normal standpoint. They don't think that there's any spiritual power behind things. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's many people that just think that this person, boy, just has it in for me, and they don't understand that it's a demonic power that's behind it. They don't understand that many people are being influenced. Not everything is the devil, but a lot of stuff is the devil. There are some people that are just in the flesh and carnal, and it's their own human nature that they're just mean and bitter. But there are some people that are actually demon-possessed and that they are controlled and dominated by demons, and you are not going to win a spiritual battle with natural weapons. You need to recognize that, man, there is a spiritual world, and the Word of God is what gives us this information, but it needs to be more than just knowledge. It needs to paint a picture. You need to, with your heart, be able to see into the spiritual realm. That is your imagination. You can see things that cannot be seen, is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Man, there is a spiritual world out there. I just believe that God is speaking to some people right now that you have been, things aren't working for you, either physically, financially, in relationships, or whatever. Things aren't working. And you have been trying to figure this out only from a physical, natural perspective, looking for some organic cure for your sickness, some physical, financial answer, something in the natural to deal with this relationship. And you hadn't even taken into account that there is a spiritual world, that there are demons, that we have angels that are there to serve and to release their power. And when you begin to get into the Word and let the Word of God make your imagination come alive, you can see these things. You will get a different perspective. You will see the conflicts that you're dealing with in a different light. You can begin to start seeing things with your heart. Man, that's powerful. This is what I'm trying to get across is we've talked about that your imagination is where you conceive things. It's conception. Your imagination is where you meditate. And your imagination is also evidence to you. You can see into the spiritual world. I used an example. I won't go back through it about where I saw the Lord walk in. And I was seeing these things in my imagination. And then when I opened up my eyes, I could see the visible results that I was seeing in my heart. I could see the physical things. I couldn't see the spiritual things that were causing it. But I could actually see better with my heart than I could see with my eyes. This is what Paul was talking about when he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I'm telling you, this should be normal Christianity. This will unlock your imagination and help you to start seeing with your heart. So I've got this brand new book entitled The Power of Imagination, and then I have DVDs and CDs that were taken from television, from live meetings. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you all of that information. And I encourage you to please get these materials. I promise you that this will transform the way you relate to God. It will loose the supernatural in your life. Okay, today is our final construction update on the parking garage. So we're now on the second level of our parking garage. This is the stairwell right here. Right over there on the other side of the blue light is a elevator that services all five levels. Over here is the main entrance from the parking garage. It goes straight in to our auditorium. We've got another entrance down here. And then up on the third and a half level, we have another entrance. We are now using all of this parking garage. So this is a praise the Lord and praise God, we finally made it. So prior to yesterday and our temporary certificate of occupancy, we were only able to use the southern half of this parking garage all the way up. But as of yesterday, they've now opened this up. So this is the very first time that we've had people parking over here.
This is during the lunch break in the afternoon during the Healing His Ear Conference, so we don't have it completely full, but it was full just a little while ago. Concerning the finances, we're trying to get this paid off as quickly as we can. So what we're going to do, either right here on this wall or possibly inside, I'm going to have a wall where I put up the 1,000 Club members, and we are asking 23,000 people to give a $1,000 gift, either a one-time gift or to give $100 a month for 10 months. And I'm believing to get this thing paid off. So thank you for being a part of this. God bless you. And I believe we will start on these other construction things quickly. Amen.
Learn how to put your imagination to work for you when you get Andrew's brand new book titled, The Power of Imagination. This book is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This new series on the power of imagination is also available as a CD or DVD album recorded live from a Gospel Truth seminar or in a DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. These valuable resources are also available in the Power of Imagination package. This package includes Andrew's brand new book, as well as your choice of the CD or the As Seen on TV DVD album. The Power of Imagination package has a catalog value of $50, but you can get it today for a gift of only $35. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The individual topic highlighted on today's broadcast is available as an audio CD for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give because there's a blessing in giving. But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide today's teaching free of charge. This is the last day we'll be offering this teaching, so be sure to respond today. You can order resources or become a Grace Partner through our website at awmi.net. Or call our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time at 719-635-1111.
I'd like to invite you to come to our Women's Arise Conference. It's November the 7th through the 9th. I'm not going to be there, but some of my best friends, Carly Terades, Pastor Sue Sheriff, Pastor Sherris Johnson, and Dorothy Brown, that's James Brown's wife. I tell you, she's become a great friend. These are some powerful women. You'll be blessed. It's going to be a great conference, November 7th through the 9th, Women Arise in Woodland Park, Colorado at our Caris facilities.
I believe Esther is the true original Cinderella story. Not only did she conquer the heart of the king, but she saved her people from annihilation. Esther's secret weapon was not her beauty, but her heart.